On the last track there, I mentioned taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, the Bible tells us how Satan came and tempted him three times. Each of those times, Jesus answered Satan with Scripture. Jesus said to Satan, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written," and then Jesus quoted Scripture to Satan. We should be ready to do like Jesus and use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, against the enemy. To do that, we must study to show ourselves approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we should ask God, too, for his help as we study the Bible. Just say, "Now, Lord, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to study the Bible. Help me to remember what I read. Help me to hide your word in my heart, so that when I need your word, it comes back out of my heart through my mouth as a sword against the enemy." Now in Acts 10:38, the Bible says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Notice in this scripture, Satan, or the devil, is the oppressor of people, but Jesus is the healer and the deliverance giver. I spoke a moment ago about casting out of demons. I quoted Luke 10:19, where Jesus gives us authority and Mark to cast out demons, and in Mark chapter 16, where Jesus said, "Believers are supposed to cast out demons. These signs shall follow those who believe." So how is that done, the casting out of demons? It is done the same way that Jesus did the casting out of demons, or devils. You open your mouth and command them to go in the name of Jesus. Let's say the person needing deliverance is deaf and dumb. They can't hear and they can't talk. You say, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus." Now, when you command demons to come out of people, you have to do that in faith. You do it in faith, believing Luke 10:19 and Mark chapter 16, where Jesus gave us authority to cast out demons. You don't do it wondering what's going to happen, because if you're just wondering what's going to happen, well, then you're not in faith, and the demons will see that you're not in faith, and they won't go. Now, look up that scripture, Luke 10:19, for yourself, and make sure that it says, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." Now somebody might say, "Well, see, that was said 2,000 years ago to the disciples back then." Well, yeah, but those guys have passed on, and you and I are the replacements. Casting out of devils wasn't just for the first century A.D. It's for now. It's for always, for the rest of the world. Of course, the time will come, and the world will come to an end, and then there won't be any more casting out of demons. But for the rest of this world, Christians are supposed to cast out demons. But you have to be in faith. Believe what Jesus said when he said, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy." Believe Ephesians 6, where it says your main enemy is the devil and his demons. Believe Mark 16, where it says, if you're a believer, you're supposed to cast out devils. You're supposed to speak in new tongues or languages. And of course, that means the baptism of the Holy Ghost was speaking an unknown tongue. You're supposed to lay hands on the sick and they recover. But when Jesus cast demons out of people, he said four things. 1, 2, 3, 4. He commanded the demons to come out and not to return to that person, and not to hurt the person, and to hold their peace, or in other words, to be silent, not say anything. We don't need to hear what demons have to say. There was a man of God, Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall went as a missionary over to the Philippines. And he was over there, and one night he was listening to the news on the radio. And on the radio, they told about this woman they were having trouble with in a prison in Manila, the Philippine Islands, city of Manila. And that woman was a big problem to him at that prison. She was a difficult prisoner, and she had some friction with one of the officials there at the prison. This woman, of course, was demon-possessed. She had friction with one of the officials, and she said, "You will die," and within about 48 hours, he was dead. And the same thing happened between her and another official there at the prison. "You will die," she said, and within about 48 hours, he was dead. And they didn't know at that prison what they were going to do with this demon. And Lester Sumrall was over there. He wasn't in Manila. He was in a different city, but he heard about it on the radio. And so then the news was over, and after the radio broadcast, the Lord spoke to Lester Sumrall. And the Lord told Lester Sumrall, "I want you to go to that prison in Manila and cast the demons out of that woman." And Lester Sumrall said to the Lord, "Well, Lord, I'm just a visitor here in the Philippines. I'm not a Filipino, and don't they have priests that can take care of that?" And Lester Sumrall said the Lord told him, "I don't have anyone else." So Lester Sumrall decided he was going to obey the Lord, but he also knew from the Bible that there's a kind of demon that doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. So he did some prayer and fasting for one day, and then he went to Manila to that prison, and he told him, "Well, I'm here to cast the demons out of that woman." Well, they were glad to see him because they didn't know what to do about that woman, and here's a guy that's talking like he could do something about it. And they let him in there, and they got the woman in there, and Lester Sumrall and the woman were in the same room there. And she started cursing him and calling him every name in the book, and he answered her. She called him a bastard. He said, "I'm not a bastard. I'm the legitimate son of..." And he gave the name of his mother and his father, husband and wife. And he commanded those demons to go out of that woman. And they went out. And the prison didn't have any more trouble with that woman. This story is in a book by Lester Sumrall called Demons, the Answer Book. I was able to get a copy from Lester Sumrall Evangelistic Association in Indiana, South Bend, Indiana. I think it's P.O. Box 12, South Bend, Indiana. You could get the zip code by going to USPS.com. It's in a chapter called Bitten by Demons. The name of the book, Demons, the Answer Book, and the chapter is called Bitten by Demons. this woman had teeth marks on her arm where she had been bitten by a demon. They were not human teeth. They had fangs like an animal. The imprint on her arm was not from human teeth. Lester Sumrall talks about that, and that was a national news event. I mean nationwide in the Philippines. Now that happened maybe 60, 70 years ago when he was a young man. I think he's passed on now. I've heard him speak. Several times, maybe in Houston. He came to Cupertino, California, where I was working at a company there. I had a friend, this guy Joe, also a Christian, and I said, Joe, Lester Sumrall's coming to town. He's going to be speaking over there at De Anza College. You want to go with me and we'll go listen to Lester Sumrall preach? He said, yeah, I'll go. So we went and we listened to Lester Sumrall, and at the end of it, my friend Joe said, that's the best preaching I ever heard. God used Lester Sumrall as a preacher, and you know, he didn't even want to be a preacher. When he was a young man, the Lord told him, I want you to be a preacher. I don't know exactly what exact words the Lord said, but he didn't want to be a preacher. And he had a strong reason not to be a preacher, because he knew that if his dad found out he was going to be a preacher, he'd get a beating from his dad. Well, no kid wants to get a beating, so he didn't want to be a preacher. And then Lester Sumrall came down, and I've heard him tell about it. I've heard him tell this story. He came down with tuberculosis. And it got so bad, this tuberculosis, that the doctor said, I don't think this boy is going to make it through tonight. And that night, God gave Lester Sumrall a vision. And on one side was a big coffin, like they bury people in. And on the other side was a big Bible. And God said to Lester Sumrall, this night you will choose one or the other. In other words, Lester Sumrall had to either choose to be a preacher or choose to die. Of course, that's pretty strong stuff, but God can be pretty strong when he wants to be. So Lester Sumrall said, well, I guess I'll be a preacher. Well, I think he made the right decision. There's a place in the Bible where it says, where God's telling his people, behold, I set before you life and death. Choose life. God advises us to choose life, but it's up to us to make the choice. So Lester Sumrall did make it through the night. And he recovered from his tuberculosis. And then about 3 weeks later, the Lord reminded Lester Sumrall about his decision and his commitment to go ahead and be a preacher. The Lord showed him it was time to do something about it. Well, Lester Sumrall wasn't about to tell his dad and get a beating, so he ran away from home. And he started preaching, and the Lord blessed his ministry. By the time it was over, he had three sons who also were in the ministry. But Lester Sumrall was an authority on casting out demons. Win Worley was an authority on casting out demons, who was pastor of the Hegwisch Baptist Church, Highland, Indiana. Kenneth E. Hagin is an authority on casting out demons. Now, he's passed on, but he wrote nearly 100 books, most of which were bestsellers, which means they sold over 1 million copies each. You can find Hagin's books on the internet at rhema.org, R-H-E-M-A. When you get to the home page, click on bookstore. Another man that casts out demons, he is a businessman who is also a Bible teacher, Norval Hayes. I've seen him on TV. I saw him on DirecTV on the GTV channel. Norval Hayes has a Bible college in Cleveland, Tennessee. I believe it's called New Life Bible College. And on DirecTV a couple of months ago, on the GTV channel, Norval Hayes said he had a student, a young woman. She had something wrong with her legs. She could walk, but she could only walk with the help of crutches. And Norval Hayes told her, here's what you need to do. You need to command your legs every day to be normal. And at first, she thought his teaching was a little too strong, and she was a little reluctant. But she did start doing what he told her to do, and she started commanding her legs to be well every day. In the name of Jesus, you legs, I command you to be normal and be well. And sometimes she would do that several times a day. Norval Hayes said, at the end of about 6 months, she went to the shopping mall with her friends, and she was walking along on her crutches, and she felt the power of God come on her, and she threw down her crutches and walked off normal. And I believe it happened just like that. And God has healing for those who need healing. Now, if somebody's going to say, well, you know, I'm suffering for God. Well, that's the wrong thing to say. In Hebrews it says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. God wants you healed. He doesn't want you suffering for Jesus. If you're suffering, you're not suffering for Jesus, because he doesn't want you suffering. He wants you healed. So as Christians, one of our duties as Christians is to tell others about Jesus. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are supposed to live the Christian life before others so that they can see you and say, you know, there's something different about that person. What's different about that person? And it shouldn't be too hard for them to figure out what's different about you is you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't use those four-letter words that other people use, that foul language that so many people use, because you're a Christian, and you watch your mouth, and you pray the prayer that David prayed. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That's a prayer that David prayed there in the Bible, and God put it in the Bible so that we can do like David and pray that same prayer. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Another scripture says we should always be ready always to give an answer to those who ask a reason of the hope that is in us. Are you ready to give an answer about the hope that is in you? If somebody says, why are you a Christian? Why? Well, I know I'm ready to give an answer. I'm ready to tell them I'm a Christian because I don't want to go to hell. And there's a heaven and there's a hell, and hell is a nasty place. And Jesus said in hell, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where their worms don't die and where the fire is not quenched. It's hot. Worms are eating you. There's crying and gnashing of teeth. Sound like a nice place to go to? Well, I don't think so. And most people go there. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Well, I'm going to be one of those few. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to try to help other people go with me to heaven. And I've already won souls, and God will give me more souls. God will give me many souls to take with me and help them get to heaven. And we'll rejoice in heaven over the salvation provided by God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know there's a heaven and hell? Because Jesus said so, and Jesus doesn't lie. I talked to a man not too long ago, living in the same building. He'd moved out now. And he told me, well, there is no hell. Well, somebody's lying. Either Jesus is lying when he says there's a fiery hell, or that man is lying, and I know it's not Jesus. Now, there's a false religion called Jehovah's Witnesses. And they go out spreading their literature. They want to convert you to be a Jehovah's Witness. The Jehovah's Witnesses say there's no hell. But Jesus said there is a hell. Now somebody's lying. Either Jesus is lying or the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I know Jesus doesn't lie. No, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a false Bible, a counterfeit Bible, called the New World Translation. If you look at that counterfeit Bible that they have, and open up to John chapter 5, verse 4, in the King James Bible, there are something like 20 words. In the Jehovah's Witness Bible, there are zero words. There's just a long dash. Because they took that verse out of the Bible. If you look in the book of Revelation, it says, you take anything out of this book, I will take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. You got to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven to go to heaven. You get it in there when you become a Christian. But you see, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not going to heaven because they have a false religion that teaches contrary to the Bible. But there are many false religions in the world. One false religion, of course, is Islam. People who are of the religion of Islam are Muslims. And they think they know what they're doing, but they don't know what they're doing. They say Allah is God and Muhammad is His prophet. Well, no, I don't think Allah is God, because the real God has a son named Jesus. But in the Islam religion, Allah does not have a son named Jesus. So then they couldn't be the same person, could they? Because the real God has a son named Jesus, and in the religion of Islam, Allah does not have a son named Jesus. Well, then they're not the same person, are they? The Muslims don't know who God is, and they don't know who Jesus is. They say Jesus is one of our prophets. Well, I don't think He is one of your prophets. Because I was speaking to a Muslim man when I was in Houston. I said, you know, you people, meaning you Muslims, You say that Jesus was a good man and a prophet, but not the Son of God. I said, when you say that, you contradict yourselves. Because Jesus said he's the Son of God. You say he's not. Now, if you're right and Jesus is not the Son of God, he's not a good man, he's a liar. He's not a prophet, he's a false prophet. The Muslim man surprised me with his answer. He said, Jesus didn't say that. Meaning that Jesus didn't say he was the Son of God. Well, he sure did. Jesus was brought before the Jewish high priest. And the Jewish high priest asked him, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, yeah, yes. And you will see the Son of Man come in the clouds with great power and glory. Another time, Jesus was talking to his disciples. Jesus asked them a question, whom do men say that I am? And the disciples said, well, some people say that you're John the Baptist, risen again from the dead, or maybe they'll say that you're Elijah or one of the prophets. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered Jesus and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered Peter and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon the son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven. In other words, Jesus is telling Peter, Jesus said to Peter, you got it right, I am the Son of God. Well, why didn't the Muslim man know that Jesus said he's the Son of God? I'll tell you why, because he reads the wrong book. You got to read the Bible to find out what Jesus said. So then the Muslims say that Jesus is one of their prophets. They don't even know what Jesus said. How can he be one of their prophets? But there are many ways to go astray. There are many false religions. But the true God, the real God, has a son named Jesus. And thank God I'm a Christian, and I hope you are too.